Hello, and welcome to this seminar. We're going to talk today about one of the most important single subjects in all the world of selling, one of the subjects that destroys people's morales if you don't learn how to deal with it properly. And it's, your price is too high. It costs too much. I can't afford it. I don't have the money. You'll hear this every single day. People always complain about price. Nobody will ever say, oh, wow, that's cheap. Can I have two? They will always complain about price, and there's a variety of reasons why people complain about price. So first of all, remember that price resistance is a normal and natural part of selling. In other words, it comes up all the time. And there's a reason for that. Everybody has had the experience where they paid too much and got too little. Everybody's been burnt. Everybody's bought something and found it cheaper somewhere else, somehow, later on. And as a result, they've resolved inside, by gum, I'll never let this happen to me again. And now you walk in, and you have a good product or service, and it's reasonably priced competitively in a competitive market, and they say, ah, there's another one of those people who's going to sell me something that costs too much, and I'll find out later I overpaid. So what we have found is very interesting, is people do not want the lowest price. We'll talk about this in a minute. Because the lowest price is always associated with low quality. Low quality is associated with breakage, hassle, poor usability, problems of all kinds. What people want is a fair price. What people want is a good price. What people want is a decent price. What people want is a reasonable price. What people want is a great price. And you can offer all of these, but you don't necessarily offer the lowest price. You know, we heard the old saying where people say you can have any two, quality, price, or service, but you can't have all three. If you want good quality and good service, you have to pay a high price. If you want a low price, then you have to have low quality, low service, and so on. So people are not afraid to pay high prices. They just don't want to pay too much. Your job is to assure them that the amount that you charge is a reasonable amount. So what we know is that price resistance is a normal and natural part of selling. Everybody has it, including you. And why? Because price arises as an issue in almost every sale. And it arises as an issue because people don't want to leave anything on the table. Another reason is that money is a common denominator. Whenever a person says, how much is it, and that's too much, what they're doing is they are trying to figure out how that product or service fits into their world of knowledge and experience with regard to other products and services. That's why the very first thing a person says when you have a new boat or a new car, a new briefcase, they say, how much was it? Because they want to figure out how it fits into the world of prices. Another reason why price resistance is normal and natural is because price is a form of information. Price tells people where your product or service fits into the world of products and services. So it's not personal. When people say, how much is it? That's a lot. Wow. And so on. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a form of information. And always remember that everything costs more than is expected. So one of the first things that you see with top sales professionals is they become quite inured to the whole issue of price. Boy, that's a lot of money. Yes, it is. They don't even bat an eye. Don't excuse. As they say, never complain, never explain. One of the marks, by the way, of what is called a fully functioning person is that they're completely non-defensive, as they don't defend themselves. And one of the things you need to learn to do as a top salesperson is never try to defend your prices. And we'll come back to this in a couple of seconds. Now, price is seldom the reason for buying anything. Many people think it is, but a Harvard study concluded that only 6% of sales are determined by price alone. Now, what kind of a product is sold solely on the basis of price? Answer: a commodity. What is the characteristic or feature of a commodity? Answer: it's undifferentiated. It's pork bellies or steel ingots or Florida orange juice. In other words, it's all the same. It's identical to every other product. Now here's the rule. Nothing you sell is a commodity. You see, commodities can only be differentiated by price. But nothing you sell is a commodity. Nothing you sell is undifferentiated. Everything that you sell has special qualities, attributes, features, benefits, methods of production, manufacture, service, and so on. So when people say it costs too much, it means nothing because what you sell is not a commodity. Now, here's another discovery. In interviewing tens of thousands of customers who said, I can't afford it, it costs too much, they were asked afterwards, why did you say that? And they said, well, it was the easiest way to get rid of the salesperson. But what was the real reason you didn't buy? Well, it's because of this, and because of that, and because of something else, and because of a previous commitment, and because of budget constraints, and so on. But I didn't want to tell them. So what they do is they say, it costs too much. 68% of customers lie about price when they tell you it costs too much. One of the things we found in this study, by the way, is that most price problems are created by salespeople. Salespeople create the problems because they have sort of a nervous, like a Monty Python, roll the eyes look. When people say, how much is it? They go, and they tense up. And as soon as they tense up, the customer senses it. And the customer is afraid of leaving money on the table. Because when you ask customers, price ranks at the bottom as a factor when interviewing customers. I worked for a garage door manufacturing company as a professional speaker a few years ago. And I had been studying this whole issue of price. And I was talking to the president of the company, and he had distributors all over the country. And they're always complaining to him, we've got to lower the prices. People don't buy because our prices are too high. And their prices were high because the quality of their garage doors, industrial and residential, were very high quality. And so they were always on him. The distributors committee were always saying, we've got to lower the prices. That's our problem, is the prices. So what they did is they had done, in the last 6 months, a $50,000 study where they went out and they interviewed several hundred people who had bought their garage doors all over the country. And they asked them, why did you buy the garage door? And they gave a whole lot of reasons: quality, serviceability, look, appearance, fit, service, reputation of the company. They said, well, what about the price? Oh, yeah, price is important. But our distributors told us you were really concerned about the price. You argued about the price. You negotiated the price. You challenged them on the price. Oh, yeah, we do that all the time. But that's just part of business. That's just to make sure we get a good deal. But we did not make the decision on the basis of price. In fact, there were several of your competitors who gave us bids for garage doors that were lower priced. But we choose yours because of all these other reasons. So you'll find over and over again in every single survey of customers, this is what happens. Now, when the customer says it costs too much or I can't afford it, you have to ask, in comparison to what? It costs too much in comparison to what? And what we find is there's a series of reasons why people say it costs too much. For example, it could cost too much relative to the customer's overall financial condition or situation right now. The customer just may be going through a slow period, or just run out of cash, or just had an unexpected large bill, or just got their line of credit cut. In other words, it costs too much as of this moment in the customer situation. So you always ask, when do you think these financial concerns will be resolved? Next week, next month, next year? And very often they say, well, next year, when business is back, then we'd be interested. The second is the customer's financial situation at the moment. The customer may have just had a big tax bill. The customer may have just had a big reversal or lost a major customer. So it's just at the moment that anything costs too much. Many companies and individuals make a decision because of a sudden reversal that they're not going to spend any money at all. So find out, and I'll give you some questions that you can ask. And one of the very best questions is, how do you mean exactly? Just how do you mean? We'll give you some more of those questions in a second. The third reason the customer says it costs too much is because it's more than the amount that the customer has mentally allocated for your product. For example, you have an idea that a certain product or service costs a certain amount, and you call up and you ask, and it's more than you expect. You say, boy, that costs too much. That's cost a lot. That's more than I expected. That's more than I'm prepared to spend. Well, then you have to find out, what were they prepared to spend? How much did they think it was going to cost? Sometimes people have been completely misled. I'll give you an example. When we were offering two-day seminars, weekend seminars, we do promotion and presentations during the week. And at the end of the presentation, I would get up and I would say, and this seminar, 2 days, everything included, unconditionally guaranteed, is only $4.95. And if you'd like to attend, please register at the back of the room. And one of the people who'd come from the public went to the back of the room and gave my manager a $5 bill and said, I'd like the change. And the manager said, what are you talking about? He said, well, it's $4.95, so here's $5, I'd like the change. He said, have you ever been to a seminar before? He said, no, I just read about this in the paper. He said, it's $495. He said, oh, my, gee, I can't pay. That's just, he was outraged. He stomped away. He couldn't believe it because he had no idea what a seminar was supposed to cost. Now, the customer may say that it costs too much because it's more than the customer thinks your product is supposed to cost. Sometimes people have an idea. We call this in psychology, it's called an idée fixée, a fixed idea, that a product is supposed to cost a certain amount. And when you tell them the cost of your product, they say, geez, that's too much. And you have to say, why do you say that? Why do you say that? They could say it costs too much in comparison to the prices your competitors ask for comparable articles. You get this all the time. Well, I just talked to somebody the other day, and he sells these for this amount. And you must find out, because Often you're dealing against a lower priced competitor, but also lower quality, lower service, lower everything else. And the potential customer is using them as a benchmark. So what you do is you ask them, in comparison with who? Who else have you spoken to? And you may find, oh yes, they do sell a similar product, but let me tell you the difference. And now you're on solid ground. Now you can create value rather than trying to argue price. Another reason they say it costs too much, it costs more than the prices of alternatives or substitute products. A perfect example, it would be vacations. A person may be comparing a vacation to Hawaii or a cruise. And how much does it cost to go to Hawaii, fly, hotel, and everything else? How much does it cost to go on a cruise? And they say, boy, that's a lot of money for that package, whatever it happens to be, because I can get the same 1 week or 2 week vacation in a condo on Maui, including airfare, for X number of dollars. So you always have to find out what they're thinking of as an alternative or substitute. It's not a direct competition or comparison, but it's a substitute for what you buy. You know, you've heard the Woody Allen story where he said, my wife and I were talking about what to get each other for Christmas. Should we take a Caribbean trip or get a divorce? They finally decided to get a divorce. Because after all, if you take a Caribbean trip, at the end of the trip, it's over, but a divorce lasts forever. In other words, comparing the prices of alternatives and substitutes. They may say it costs too much in comparison to what the customer thinks you ought to charge him or her. Many people think that if you're a nice person, that you should give them a special deal. Many people think if they bought from you in the past, they should get a discount in the present. Many people think that if it's the first time that they've bought from you, you should give them a special sweetener of some kind. So they think that, yes, this is what other people pay. Many people think if you're their friend or their relative or you're associated with them closely, they'll think, well, they should get a special deal because they're different from your normal customers. And you need to find out if that's the case. Whenever I have this experience, you say, look, you know, my hands are tied. We charge everybody the same. Let me give you a great example. When I moved down here to San Diego, we had to furnish our offices. So I went to a whole series of office furniture companies, big warehouse, big displays, beautiful, with offices and desks and credenzas and chairs and carpets and artwork and everything else. And I went from place to place and I looked at, you know, pretty good, nice equipment, nice desks, nice furniture. And I said, well, how much is this? And they said, well, this desk is $29.95, but that is the recommended retail price from the manufacturer. Actually, because it's a floor model, it's 20% off, so it's only actually at $2,400. But because it is the end of the season, we can give you an end-of-season discount of 17%, plus we can give you a special customer, new customer discount of 11%, and so on. And I got so confused with all these cutbacks and prices and discounts, I left. And I went from place to place to place, and they all gave me all these discounts. So finally, I went to a company called City Office Furniture. And it was on a side street, and I went in there. It was pretty busy, and I looked at the furniture, and the furniture was really good quality, and the prices were great. So I went up to the person in charge. I said, you know, I'd be interested in buying some of these desks, chairs, everything else. How much are they? And he said, well, the price is right there. There's a price, big label on each piece of furniture. I said, yes, yes, I know that, but I'm not dumb. I've been to lots of furniture companies. That's the starting price. What if I buy two chairs? Well, then you multiply two times the number on the chair, the man said. But what if I buy five chairs and two desks and three? He said, then we add them up, and whatever the tag on the chair or the desk or the credenza is, that's how much it costs. I said, you certainly don't know how to sell office furniture. You're supposed to give a discount for this and a discount for that and a first-time buyer discount and a floor model discount and everything else. He said, yes. He said, that's the way most people do it. Let me explain how we do it. What we do is we order the furniture after you've ordered it, and we order it directly from the manufacturer. It takes 2 to 4 weeks. We mark the furniture up 33 1/3%, and that's all. And that covers all of our costs, our shipping, our office staff, everything else, plus about a 10% profit. And the price savings we pass on to you, but there's no hidden prices, there's no special charges, there's no discounts, no nothing. Everybody pays exactly the same. And I said, get out your order pad. And I bought my entire office full of furniture from those people, and I've been dealing with them for 20 years. And whenever anybody in my office or in my circle needs furniture, I say, go there, buy the furniture there, because you'll get a good deal, the same deal everybody gets. Nothing's left on the table. The prices are fair and reasonable and so on. So it's really important that you find out how they price them and why they price. Now, when a customer says it costs too much, it may be that the customer may object to any price as a matter of habit. There are many people who consider themselves to be very clever negotiators, and they will grind on anything. They will try to negotiate the price down when they order a drink at the bar or dinner in a restaurant. Can I get this cheaper? How about if we order two? And this is part of their culture. They've learned how from their parents or somebody, but they just grind as a matter of concept, as a matter of fact. So what you do is when they grind, you just shrug your shoulders and say, yeah, so that's very interesting, and realize it's a game for them. Now, the customer may object as a strategy to get a lower price. This is very common, by the way, and many large companies actually send their executives and their buyers on 2 and 3 day courses on how to grind vendors on price. And so they have a whole bunch of techniques. And the first technique is shock at your price. We do shock, and one of the other things we do is cringe. Oh my, ow, gee, that's a lot, wow. That's completely unreasonable. Forget about it. There's no way we can buy it at that price. This is all taught. They practice it. They do role playing in their negotiating classes. And when you get this, very often a salesperson who's a little unsure about their price, salespeople are a little bit weak about their price, they'll fall apart. And so when a person pulls this on you, recognize it's like good cop, bad cop. It's a game. They learn to play this game and just don't play back. Say, yes, oh, that's interesting, Just don't respond. Now, another reason the customer may object to price is the customer may not want to buy your product or service just now, so he challenges your price to avoid telling you. Maybe the customer doesn't want to tell you that they can't afford it. They don't have the money. They're just not as well off as they look. So they challenge your product or service rather than saying, you know, it's just more money than I can handle at this time because of ego reasons. It may be that your customer just doesn't want to buy at all. And they don't want to buy it all, so they just say, well, I'm sorry, it's out of the question. I don't have the money. It costs too much. And they say it costs too much just to tell you, but they don't want to tell you that they just don't want it. They don't like it. It could be that your customer wants to buy but doesn't want to tell you the real reason. Sometimes it's a real reason. Sometimes the reason is because they decided to buy from a friend, or they've decided to buy from a competitor, or they've made some other internal arrangements, or their boss's brother-in-law is in the business. And they don't want to tell you that because it's not fair, because they've been leading you on to get your presentation, prices, proposals, bids, and so on. So they say it costs too much when in reality it has nothing to do with you. And finally, the customer could complain because the customer wants it and needs it, but he expects you of overcharging him for it. He thinks that you're trying to charge him too much money, and he wants to be sure he doesn't leave anything on the table. Now, here's an interesting point. All of us, you, me, customers, salespeople, have two major fears. One is the fear of being taken advantage of. And why do we have that fear? It's because we have been and we didn't like it. A second fear we have is the fear of being manipulated or hustled or talked into something that's not good for us. And why do we have that fear? Because it's happened and we didn't like it. So basically, we've got sort of like a porcupine defense measure against people who we feel or suspect or maybe trying to charge us too much. And you just have to be aware of that. And that's why it's so important, as we explained in other places, that you be calm, confident, positive, build a high-quality relationship, ask good questions, fully understand the customer's needs and problems and so on before you present and well before you get to the price. It's interesting. There are buyers for large companies. That's all they do is they buy. They sit and they meet with salespeople all day long. And there's junior buyers and senior buyers. And they've done some interesting surveys on this, the Purchasing Managers Association of America, and they find that junior buyers, people with less experience, tend to be fixated on price. But experienced senior buyers put price aside and are far more concerned about other qualities and attributes of the product or service. Nonetheless, when you're out shopping, sometimes you will run into what is called the pure price buyer. These are often called customers from hell. They don't care about anything except the lowest price. They don't care about the qualities or services or the background of your company or anything else. All they want is the lowest price. So lots of studies have been done of these people, and here's what we know about a pure price buyer. They're determined to get the lowest possible price no matter what. First of all, pure price buyers complain 50% more than other customers. They're always complaining. When we had pure price buyers working for us, they'd sometimes call, and they'd call two or three people in the company. The phone would ring, somebody would pick it up, and they'd complain about delivery, about shipping, about packaging, about something else. Then they'd call someone else and complain. Then they'd call someone else and complain. It would get to the point when someone says, so-and-so's on the line, nobody wanted to talk to them. and we had bent over backwards to give these people a great price. A second problem is pure price buyers have no loyalty. They'll switch to a lower price competitor at the first opportunity. They'll drop you like a hot potato. They will switch for a nickel. So therefore, sometimes companies say, well, you know, we'll go along with this person. We'll agree to these terms. We'll sell the product at this low price, which is far below what we wanted. But at least we'll build up a customer and so on. Nah, they'll drop you for a nickel. They're not good customers. Now, third is pure price buyers want full services without paying for them. Sometimes they say, well, we'll just take the product and we'll service it ourselves. We'll install it ourselves. We'll take care of it ourselves. As soon as they do, they want you to service, and they want you to come by, and they want you to send them information, and they want you to be available 24/7 for the product which they've paid no services for. Pure price buyers take all your selling time. They ask you questions. And here's another thing these people do is they request proposals. Could you do a proposal for us? Could you write it all down for us? Could you put it all together? And one of the things I stopped doing very early in my career, because I run into these people, usually junior people in companies, they'd call up and say, would you do a proposal? And I finally said, I don't do proposals. They said, what? They said, everybody else I call does proposals. I said, who else are you calling? Well, I'm calling everybody in your industry and asking them for a proposal. And then I found in the speaking and training industry, you know what they do? Is they take all the proposals and they shuffle them together like a deck of cards, and they develop their own program based on the proposals from all the experts. Meanwhile, the experts put in several hours, written it down, laid it out, determined prices, FedExed it, shipped it, delivered it, and so on, and not a darn thing ever happens. So what we do is we do letters of intent. We say, Mr. Prospect, if you really like what we're talking about, why don't I write this down in a letter, and if you agree with it, then we'll write it out in greater detail. If they reject that, don't spend a single minute writing proposals. Here's another problem, pure price buyers. People who complain about price all the time are poor payers. They forget to pay you, or they become unable to pay. Many companies, by the way, who fought right down to the wire to give the lowest price to a prospect, have found the prospect went out of business anyway, and they didn't get paid, and it's often been enough to bankrupt the supplying company because there was so little profit involved in the first place. So here's another problem with pure price buyers. They tell others how little they paid you, hurting your sales with other customers. Now, here's a rule. If you give a person a really, really good price, first-time price, bonus price, special price, whatever, just to get the business, I can promise you that that person will sit next to your best customer the next social meeting or business meeting and tell that customer all about how they ground you down and got a great price. I had this happen to me once. One of my very good friends runs a large company who I dealt with for years. I was dealing with someone else who had bought from them, and they'd given them a good price, and these people were so arrogant about how little they'd paid, and of course, in the end, they didn't buy any more, and they switched suppliers at the smallest possible temptation. So your pure price buyers, they drive away your best customers. Just drive them away. Somehow they tell people, they stand up and tell people, they brag, they email to people about what a great deal they got from you. And then what happens is we say, in my business, sometimes organizations will say, well, can you speak for us at no charge, but we'll give you great exposure, and it'll open up the doors to other people. Well, 25 years ago, I would do that because I was innocent. And then I would go and speak for a company or organization, expecting that people would come to me afterwards and say, that was a great talk. Would you come and speak on a paid basis for my company? But what happened was the person we'd spoken to for nothing told everybody we got them for nothing. And so nobody would pay. Even if they wanted me, they wouldn't pay. And finally, pure price buyers pick your brains and steal your information and ideas. They pick your brains. They ask you questions. They want proposals. They want you to put together information. They call you up and say, what about this? What about that? And then they don't buy from you. So when pure price buyers say that they can get it cheaper somewhere else, they often mean that they want your quality and delivery at your competitor's prices. So let's talk about selling on non-price issues. There are seven factors that are more important than price in making a buying decision. And the first factor is utility. It means that your product or service is suitable and conforms to the customer's standards and requirements and needs. For example, if you're selling a form of software that goes on a Macintosh and the person doesn't have a Macintosh, the piece of software, no matter how good it is or how low the price, is useless because it's not usable by the customer. If you're selling something the customer doesn't have the knowledge or the experience or the expertise to use it, it could be a superb product or service, but the customer can't use it. Maybe you're selling something in high tech that the customer is simply not familiar with. So utility is more important than price. When you're selling something the customer can take and use immediately and get good results from, that makes your product or service far more valuable and makes the price less important. A second factor that's more important than price is services. This is very important. This means that you're fast, dependable, and predictable. When IBM was at its heyday, they had a worldwide reputation for being the best customer service company in the world. They had legends. Federal Express is famous for customer service. In fact, some companies get into serious trouble when their customer service declines. Other companies will expand. People will buy from them by the handfuls because they know that this company gives superb customer service. Now, a third factor is support. You emphasize helpfulness, speed, and dependability. Once upon a time, my secretary wanted to buy a new computer, monitor, hard drive, computer, everything, because what she had was old and worn out. And she brought me three proposals. I still remember this. One proposal was for the exact amount of computer equipment she required. She'd had somebody come in and do an analysis and put together an order sheet. And this company would mail UPS the computer equipment, monitor, keyboard, everything else to the company, and she would be responsible for unpacking it, setting it up, and using it. And the price was $3,000. The second company would bring it personally, set it up, show her how to use it, and then walk away. The price was $3,500. The identical equipment list. The third company would bring it, set it up, teach her to use it, give her a two-hour tutorial, and it'd be available to her on the phone for 6 months if she had any questions. And that was $4,000. Now, which one do you think my secretary wanted? She wanted to pay $4,000 for the identical equipment because of the services that were offered. And of course, I agreed, but she was absolutely right, because the services are what made the equipment much more valuable than just being dropped off by a UPS driver. So when you give really, really good services, you could say, yes, they do charge less, but their service is nowhere near ours. We have world-class service for you, so you'll never have to worry about it. Now, a fourth factor is terms. You have favorable down payments, good billing systems, low interest rates. In other words, you may charge the same or more, but you have a good down payment system. You offer good terms. You have good billing. In other words, financially, it's easy for the person to handle it. Gerald Nirenberg, who wrote on negotiating many years ago, he said, I can charge anything I want if I can control the terms. And he gave an example. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll pay you $1,000 for that pen. Now, the guy's got a cross pen that's worth $50. He said, I'll pay you $1,000 for that pen. That's the price if I can set the terms. And what are the terms? The terms are, is every time I meet you in Grand Central Station, from now for the next 20 years, I will give you $1 until it's all paid back. Now, that's kind of extreme, but the point is that if you give wonderful terms, then the price becomes irrelevant. So another factor is ease of use. You offer trouble-free ownership. One of the very best sales presentations ever made to me was a bespoke tailor, where they come in and they do all your clothes for you, and they make them so they fit you like a glove, so you look like you've been outfitted by the best. And he said, and by the way, once we make a suit for you, no matter what happens to your body, if you add weight, lose weight, or anything else, we will make the alterations and adjustments at no charge for the life of the suit. I said, you mean the suit will always fit me no matter what? I put on weight or lose weight? Absolutely. And he got my business for year after year after year because he offered ease of use. I would never have to worry about the suit. Now, another factor that's more important is safety. You offer security, worry-free, time-saving products and services. If you have a very highly secure product or service that people can use with no worries, no hassles, no frets, that makes your product or service more valuable. And the seventh factor that's more important than price is maintenance, where you offer fast repairs, assistance, and callbacks. It's amazing, there are many companies who will offer 1 hour, 2 hour service. If you have a problem, we'll be there within 2 hours. So you'll be up and running very quickly. These companies can charge vastly more than other people. One of the most successful bug exterminator companies in the country is like that down in Florida. And what they do is they say, you hire us, we will unconditionally guarantee our work. We will come in and we will fumigate and debug or remove all insects from your facility. And if ever you find another insect, we will be out within 1 hour to take care of it, and there'll be no additional charge. One of the most successful car companies in the business is called Sewell Cadillac in Dallas, Texas. And Sewell Cadillac offers a very simple proposal. You buy a car from us, we will service you and take care of that car for as long as you're with us. We will appoint an individual mechanic who you will meet personally and whose personal number you will have at all times. And once you bring that car in for service, not only will we give you a new Cadillac to drive while your car is being serviced, but you will never pay again for that service. You will only pay once for that repair. And so you never have to think about it again. And you'll always have a new car to drive equivalent to the car that you brought in for service. They have become the biggest Cadillac dealer in the world because they give such wonderful service. And they charge full bore, full price for their cars. Even though there's five or six Cadillac dealers within 5 miles of them, people buy $100 million a year worth of Cadillacs from them because of the services. Now, you and your company can actually create values that increase the prices you can charge. And this is very important to understand. There's four ways that you can increase the perceived value and desirability of your product or service. The first is high-level advertising. This makes your company well-known and increases the prices you can charge. The reason for this is because of credibility. The more a person is familiar with you, they see your name, they see your advertising, the more they're familiar that you're in the market, the more convinced they are that it's safe to buy from you. If you're advertising, if you're well-known, if people are aware of you, if you're on radio, television, newspapers, you must be doing good business. You must have a lot of customers. Therefore, I can safely buy from you and pay a higher price. Here's an important point. In every purchase, there's what is called a psychic value or an emotional value. A psychic or emotional value is something that is intangible, but it adds to the price. Perfect example, one of my favorites, is Chanel No. 5. Chanel No. 5 is perfume in a bottle. The cost of perfume in a bottle is not that high, but Chanel can charge $50, $60, $70, $80, $100, $120 for a bottle of perfume, sometimes a very small bottle. Why? Because they advertise continually, and they're continually advertising it with beautiful women. So people get the feeling that Chanel is worth a lot of money because it's Chanel. And Coco Chanel, the woman who built the Chanel empire, always focused on that high, distinct, classy elegance about all her products. And they could charge three or four times as much as other people because of their advertising, because people felt confident buying a product. There was a psychic value to the product. What's that smell? That's Chanel. Oh. They would pay a lot. Now, another psychic value is safety, security, knowing you've made the right decision. You're okay. You won't have to go back on it. You won't have to regret it. And high-level advertising convinces people they're making a safe buying decision, even if they pay more. And people will pay more for a greater feeling of security and safety after buying the product or service. They will actually pay a premium. Now, here's a second way that you can create values, and it's when you have an excellent reputation and a good name. A company that has a great reputation and has lots of people who buy from them, who've bought from them over the years, can charge more and be full all the time. There are some restaurant chains that have a fabulous reputation, and as a result, they're full all the time. People go there and go there again and bring their friends because they have a wonderful reputation. Now, here's the key to a reputation, by the way. It's consistency. Consistency is the key, is a consistent level of quality. McDonald's, for example, is a high-quality restaurant within their market area. Their market area is fast, convenient food. And McDonald's has a worldwide reputation for value, cleanliness, quality, and price. Those are their big four, value, cleanliness, quality, and price in their market area. They have 40,000 stores because people can confidently go to a McDonald's anywhere in the world and know that they'll get quality, value, cleanliness, and price. A third way that you can create values is with good public relations, giving your company a positive image. Supported by excellent sales materials, increases the prices you can charge. For example, this is why people sponsor Special Olympics. They sponsor sports teams. They sponsor things that get a lot of publicity. They put their signs in stadiums and so on. But also, excellent sales materials. Now, here's an important rule, especially if you have a small business. Find out the kind of sales materials that your competitors in your market niche use. And remember, you always have to be equal to or better than them. In other words, your sales materials must be the same level of quality or better than that of your competitors. Because it's very often, and I've worked in advertising for years, very often a person will take a brochure that's beautifully done, four color or more, hard stock, nice artwork, and they'll feel the brochure and they'll buy the product. It's the most amazing darn thing. In direct mail, you'll find that you can increase your response rates by increasing the quality of the paper in the direct mail. You can decrease your response rates by sending out cheap material. So therefore, really good sales material is very important in increasing the perception of value of what you sell and enabling you to charge higher prices. One last point, by the way, your business cards should be as stiff as playing cards. There's a lot of arty, farty people who think that a tissue-thin business card is somehow cute or modern. No, because people take the business card and they assume that the company is as solid as the business card. If the business card is on thin paper, if the letters are on thin paper, if the brochures or sales materials are on thin, cheap paper, they assume the company is cheap as well. So very, very important. Everything counts. And finally, and here's the best of all, is professional selling. By responding quickly and then aggressively and vigorously selling your product or service, it enables you to charge more. The more thoroughly professional your sales presentation, the more you prospect, interview, identify needs, present thoroughly, answer objections, the better prepared you are, better dressed you are, better organized you are, the more you can charge. Interesting point. Back in the old days, IBM dominated the world of computers. They had 80% of the world computer market. But at no time was IBM better or cheaper or faster than their competitors. They were always more expensive and slower and had fewer features. So how were they able to sell against really aggressive competitors? The answer was they had the best sales force in the world. And to much of an extent, they have the best sales force today. They had a fabulous sales force. These people could sell. They would train them for 18 months before they sent them out. 9 months in the classroom, 9 months in the field. They dressed meticulously. They dressed to a specific IBM dress code. In fact, I did 29 talks for IBM over the years, and the greatest compliment I ever had was, "You look like someone from IBM." Because the IBM professionals, executives, salespeople looked great. When they walked in, people looked at them and said, "I want to buy from this company." And it's amazing how frustrated their competitors. Their competitors would send out people who dressed looking like they'd been to a used clothing store shop, and they could never sell against IBM. Even though IBM charged more for less, and they were offering less for more, IBM could always outsell them because they looked the part, and they sold so professionally. It was a pleasure to buy IBM products and to pay premiums for them. Well, price concerns diminish with three factors. The first thing that causes price concerns to diminish is buying desire. We say emotions distort evaluations. If a person really wants the product, if your presentation has been such that they really want it, then they become less and less concerned about price. As they say, if you sell fire extinguishers and the person's hair is on fire, they don't care how much your fire extinguisher costs. So therefore, buying desire, which you can build by emphasizing the benefits and pleasures and enjoyments of this product or service, can dramatically lower price concerns. Second of all is shortages. Whenever there's a limited quantity of your product or service, or there's a limited quantity at a certain price, it triggers the desire to buy. One of the closing techniques we teach is sort of like a takeaway close. You say, "Mr. Prospect," and explain the product or service, and you say, before they've given you a yes or no, they're still looking at it, pondering your brochure, you say, "You know, I'm sorry, but do you mind, could I use your phone to call the warehouse to see if we have that in stock, because they've been selling like hotcakes lately?" And if the prospect says, "Oh yes, you can use my phone," they've decided to buy. So whenever you suggest that your product or service may not be available, or that's the last one at this price, very often it triggers buying desire. And the third is impatience. The customer needs or wants it immediately. If the customer wants it immediately, if they're in a real hurry to get the product or service, they don't care what the price is. And of course, sometimes you can develop this impatience by making a great presentation that causes them to want it and to want it now. Well, there's 10 ways to win the price wars against lower price competition. Here they are. First, offer easy, problem-free ownership. Remember, customers place a very high value on low-hassle, no-hassle ownership. Tell them you buy this and you never have to worry about it again. It'll just run and run and run. Second of all, emphasize speed and dependability. Remember, today there is a need for speed. Customers equate speed with value. When you do things fast for them, when you're predictable, when you say you call them and you call them, when you say you'll deliver something and you deliver, when you say you get them an answer and you get them an answer, that dramatically increases the perceived value of what you sell. We'd much rather deal with someone who is consistent and predictable and fast than someone who is the opposite. Third, be consistent and predictable, as I just said. Make it so that the person can count on you and they can count on your level of quality and service. That if you say you will do something, you always do it. And every time you say you will do it, you do the same thing. React quickly to their needs and concerns. Whenever a customer has a problem or a need, react quickly. Now, here's an interesting point. We found that if a customer has a complaint and you act quickly to resolve the complaint, the customer's loyalty will be greater. If the customer has a complaint and you act slowly, the customer's loyalty will be much less, and often they will stop using you and go somewhere else. Why? Because the longer the period of time between when the customer experiences a problem and you get back to them, the more angry and irritable they become. Now, sometimes we ask if a bone breaks and heals, what happens at the point of break? And the answer is that it's stronger. The body actually manufactures more calcium. So if you break a leg or an arm, it's actually stronger at that point. It's the same thing with complaints. When you deal with a customer's concerns, problems, or complaints fast, their loyalty to you is even stronger than if they had had no complaints at all. So that's a very powerful way to build customer loyalty and to charge higher prices. Give accurate delivery times and emphasize reliability. In other words, if you say that you're going to deliver something at a specific time, always deliver it on time or slightly earlier. I'll give you an interesting example. Marriott Hotels, wonderful run organization. When you call room service, and room service is sort of like taking the pulse of the entire hotel. Your room service is a very good indicator of the entire quality of management and the back office, if you like. So you call a room service and you order something. They say, we'll have it up there to you in 30 to 40 minutes. And so you hang up the phone and you turn around and 16 minutes later, the door answers, the door knocks, and there it is. You go, wow, that was fast. Marriott has this philosophy, always under-promise and over-deliver. Under-promise and over-deliver. So if you say to them, we'll try to have it for you by 5 o'clock, have it for them by noon. If you say, we'll get it for you at the end of the week, get it for them by the middle of the week. It always surprises people when you over-deliver. And it increases the desirability of what you sell. Another thing that you can do to win the price wars against lower price competition is to demonstrate the expertise and competence of your sales representative. What they found is that if you, as a salesperson, are really well prepared and knowledgeable, your product or service is considered to be more valuable and desirable than if you're not. So therefore, the more knowledgeable and skilled you are, the more the person wants to buy from you, the more confident they feel they're making the right decision. Another way is to make regular and predictable service calls. The very best salespeople call on a regular schedule. They have A, B, and C clients. A clients are really important. They see them personally once a month. B clients are important, but not as big as A clients. They phone them once a month and see them the second month, alternating. And then C clients are ones that they will call for 2 months and see in the third month. So in other words, your face-to-face communication on a regular basis dramatically increases your ability to win the price wars. Offer complete product service selection, enabling the customer to do one-stop shopping. This is something that makes a company like Walmart, who competes on the basis of low prices, very successful. But there are also computer companies, technology companies, electronic companies, companies like L.L. Bean that offer the entire range of products in that particular area. So you can go to that one company. Amazon, for example, has become one of the most successful businesses in the world by offering every book that you could possibly want to read. And if you click on the right place, you go to Amazon Germany, Amazon Britain, Amazon Japan. In other words, they carry all the books that are for sale in the major book markets. You can go to one place, click on one place, and get what you need. Another way that you can win the price wars is explain the reasons and importance of the quality you offer. Remember, reasons do win sales. We know that customers are primarily emotional. They decide emotionally and justify logically. However, when you give a good reason for why your product or service is more expensive, it eliminates the concern. People are only concerned that they're getting good value. You say to a person, boy, this is a bespoke suit. It costs $2,000. Yes, but let me explain to you why. And I understand bespoke suits. So they show you how the suit is measured and how it's cut and how the lining is sewn in and double stitched and how every single line is hand stitched. And they show you how the buttonholes are real buttonholes as opposed to holes in the fabric. And they show you how the cuffs have real buttons rather than artificial ones. They show you all the little details and said that not everybody will notice this. This is what he said to me. Not everyone will notice these small details, but the people who you want to notice will notice, because that's how they dress as well. And it was a wonderful argument. He explained to me why it was advisable for me to pay much more than could be expected for a particular product. And finally, another way is you can offer guarantees, warranties, and backup on what you sell. A wonderful way to eliminate price objections is to say, look, we unconditionally guarantee what we sell. We'll give you a warranty, we'll service it, we'll take care of it, we'll guarantee that you'll be happy. And if you're not happy for any reason, you can have your money back. Well, that makes it much easier to pay a higher price than if you just sold the product and went away. There are 7 critical categories that determine purchase decisions, and these are in descending order of importance. These critical categories are essential. In other words, we'll start with the most important and go to the least important. Number one, most important, is emotions. People buy because of the feeling or experience they expect to enjoy by buying, owning, and using your product or service. This is why really good salespeople create what are called emotional mind pictures. They say, you are going to love the feel of this car as it goes around a turn. You're going to love living in this neighborhood because it's so quiet yet so close to everything. You're going to love this musical set because of the clarity of the sound. You'll love this flat screen television because of the high definition. In other words, they paint a picture, a mental visual picture of how happy the customer will be using the product or service. This is the most powerful of all factors. The second is improvement. The impact or the improvement that your product or service will make in the life or work of your customer. Remember, customers only buy one thing in the world, and that's improvement. They buy something because they feel they will be better off afterwards. If they decide not to buy, it's because you have not convinced them that they will be better off afterwards as a result. The third category is performance, which is how your product or service actually works in practice. Does it work well? Does it work smoothly? Does the customer enjoy it? Does the customer get great results from it? Is it easy? Because this is a really important decision-making factor. The fourth is the result or benefit. What is the tangible event or condition that comes about from using your product or service? Now, here's an interesting point that we've talked about. Nobody cares what your product or service is. They only care what it does. Most salespeople talk about what it is and how it was developed and how it's put together and its components, but customers are only listening for one thing. What will it do to change or improve my life or work? How will I specifically benefit? What's in it for me? What difference is it going to make? And the more you focus on the difference it will make in your customer's life, the lower is the customer's price sensitivity. The fifth critical category that determines a purchase decision is called the special attribute. Now, what we have found in interviewing tens of thousands of customers, that very often they home in on one factor that is the one factor that causes them to buy. Sometimes this is the one thing they remember about your product or service. Often it's your unique selling proposition. It's the one thing your product or service can do for your customer that no other product or service can do. And as a result, the customer is willing to pay a premium price to get this. You must identify what it might be in what you sell and then make sure that it's crystal clear to the customer that if they do buy from you, they will get this one special benefit or attribute that no one else can offer. Now, the sixth is the comparisons, is the way you position your products or services against competitors. Many customers have decided to buy, but they haven't decided who they're going to buy from. One of the reasons they're talking to you is to find out whether they should buy from you rather than from your competitors. So one of the most important things you do is you make it clear why your product or service is superior in terms of the benefits the customer gets versus your competitors. And finally, the last, number 7, is price. And price is really the meaning of the cost relative to other products or services or to other uses of the same money. Remember, price is always relative to other uses of the money. It's not the price you charge, it's what other things the person can do with the same amount of money. Price is always relative to value as perceived by the customer. Price is always a measure of his or her wants, values, needs, and intensity of desire. And these are all things that you can influence with a really good presentation that emphasizes the benefits that the customer will enjoy when they use your product or service. Now, as we come to the end, let's talk about neutralizing the price objection. Here's what we have found. Price objections are often created or exaggerated by the salesperson. Many salespeople actually feel that their company charges too much. One of the most common complaints of salespeople is, couldn't we lower the price, or couldn't we give them a special deal, or couldn't we do it just this time, just to get this deal? Because most salespeople don't understand that the price has been very carefully thought out in a very competitive market, and it includes an enormous number of costs that the salesperson cannot see, and that virtually all products and services are very competitively priced. So they don't realize that, so what they do is they suggest to the customer that this price is soft, and there's nothing that will cause a customer to start to become alert, like a porcupine flaring. Then they feel that they're on the verge of paying too much, being hustled, being taken advantage of. So, when customers object to price, which they will, then first of all, be proud of your prices. Smile and agree that they are higher than your competitors. Yes, we do charge more, and for good reason. Would you like me to tell you what it is? I used to say, Mr. Prospect, you should know that we charge more than any of our competitors, and yet thousands of people like you who are very price sensitive buy from us every year. Would you like to know why? Yeah, why? Well, let me show you exactly why it makes sense for you to pay more and to buy ours than to pay less and get it somewhere else. A second thing you can do is answer price questions clearly. Look the customer in the eye with complete confidence. How much is it? Tell them straight. It's exactly this amount. And say it clearly, boldly, confidently, as if it was one of the great discoveries. It's almost like you can't believe it costs so little. When salespeople are insecure about their prices, they suggest to the customer that they may be paying too much, and they cause the customer to become suspicious and cautious. Remember also that higher prices signify higher quality. Many years ago, a top salesman told me how to deal with a price question. He said, when a customer says it costs an awful lot of money, you say, Mr. Customer, may I ask you a question? He said, sure. Tell me, have you ever gotten anything that was good for free or for nothing? He said, no. He said, have you ever gotten anything that was really good for a low or a cheap price? He said, no. Mr. Customer, isn't it true that you pretty much get what you pay for in life? He said, yes. He said, and here you get not only what you pay for, but far more. And it always neutralizes the price objection. Explain the reasons that others buy from you at higher prices. This is a wonderful way of presenting. You say, Mr. Prospect, what I'd like to show you is why our best customers buy from us and buy again over and over again, even though we charge more than our competitors. And you just tell me if these reasons apply to you and your situation. And let me show you, for example. And what you've done is you just left it open. And then you explain why they decide to pay more to us for this because of that, because of this, because of that. And how does that sound to you? Does that make sense to you? Is this consistent with your own needs, Mr. Customer? Remember, there is a gregarious instinct in buying. That means people are moved to do what lots of other people are doing. And if you can point out that lots of intelligent customers like this person are buying your product or service at higher prices, it relaxes the customer and makes them open to buying from you. Use testimonials from satisfied customers who selected your higher-priced product over lower-priced offerings. One of the things I did at the beginning of one of my sales careers is after I'd made a few sales to people who'd complained about price and who had bought anyway, I went back and I asked them if they would write a nice letter saying something to the effect, Dear Brian, when you first called me and I heard about your prices, I was very concerned because they seemed excessive in today's market. But after hearing what you said, and I decided to go ahead and bought from you, and I'm happy I did. Because I paid a higher price, I got all these benefits and advantages that I hadn't realized were so important. I call this a sweetheart testimonial. And I would get 8 or 10 of these testimonials. I would put them in a 3-hole binder in plasticized pages. I would use highlighter to highlight the most important words. And whenever a customer asked me, what about price? Boy, that costs a lot. I can get it cheaper somewhere else. I said, you know, a lot of my customers have thought that initially, but this is what they said afterwards. And I would show them my letters. And it immediately zapped. It completely neutralized their objections to see that other people were concerned about price, had bought anywhere, and were glad that they did. Now, you can use questions to deal with price objections. Here are my favorite questions. When a person says it costs too much, I'd get it cheaper somewhere else, we don't have the money, and so on, we can't afford it, you say, how do you mean? Or how do you mean exactly? And then listen to the answer. The rule is you never argue about price. You just simply ask, how do you mean? Or a second question you can ask, you can say, well, obviously you have a good reason for saying that. Do you mind if I ask what it is? It costs too much. Well, obviously you have a good reason for saying that. Do you mind if I ask what it is? And often they don't have a good reason. They just say it. Or when the prospect says, I can get it cheaper somewhere else, I say, why do you say that? Why do you say that? And then just listen attentively. Or when the customer says your competitor sells it for less, says, why do you feel that way? I can get a better deal somewhere else. Why do you feel that way? And listen for the answer. Or if the customer says, well, just tell me the price, just tell me the price, and I'll tell you if I'm interested. You ever had that? What you do is you say, Mr. Prospect, I know price is important to you. May I come back to that in a moment? I know price is important to you. May I come back to that in a moment? And often the customer will say, well, oh, sure, okay. Because they're just curious about the price. Some people are just like children. They just got to know what's in the bag. And sometimes when I was cold calling, I'd call up and I'd say, hello, this is Brian Tracy. And they say, how much is it? And I'd say, well, I'm from the Institute for, how much is it? Well, I'd like to talk to you about sales. How much is it? And they would just say, how much is it? And I finally learned that there was one answer. And I just would turn around this sales resistance. I say, Mr. Prospect, that's the best part. If it's not exactly right for you, there's no charge. How much is it? Mr. Prospect, that's the best part. If it's not exactly right for you, there's no charge. The prospect would say, well, what do you mean there's no charge? Mr. Prospect, if it's not exactly right for you, you're not going to take it, are you? Well, no damn way. Well, if you don't take it, then there's no charge. And all I need is 10 minutes of your time, and I'll show you what it is, and you can judge for yourself. Finally, explain the price clearly. Make the price appear fair and reasonable to your customer. Compare your price with higher-priced competitors. This knocks the wind out of a complaint. You charge too much. Show that other people charge more. Give the reasons for your higher price. Show that it's worth far more because of the additional features and benefits you offer. Minimize the price difference. Show how other benefits more than compensate for your higher prices. All the different things that the customer gets that nobody else offers more than justify the amount you charge. Spread the price difference over the entire period of ownership and use. A person says, well, that's $500 more than your competitor. Mr. Prospect, how long would you use something like this? In our experience, it's about 3 years. So that's $166 a year. If you divide that by 365, it's about 50 cents a day, maybe 40. So for all these additional features, benefits, and all these things that it will do, it costs you 40 cents a day. 40 cents a day to have the best product or service of its kind in the marketplace. I mean, you can justify that. Illustrate the price differences with an alternative expenditure. Mr. Prospect, if you took a vacation, bought a car, bought a plane ticket, it would cost you the same amount and it would be gone in a short period of time. In other words, compare it so the prospect sees, yes, in comparison with what else I could do with my money, this is a good deal. Show the high cost of not buying. Mr. Prospect, if you don't buy this, this is what can happen. This is a wonderful way to sell life insurance, wonderful way to sell safety devices, car seats for your children, to sell all kinds of things that bring greater security. Think what would happen if you didn't buy at all. And finally, continually emphasize the most valuable benefit your product or service offers. Pick the most valuable benefit, what your product or service offers that is more important to your customer than anything else, and keep emphasizing that if they buy from you, this is what they will definitely get. So let me conclude by saying that price is seldom the reason for buying or not buying anything. If price were the deciding factor, everyone would shop at Walmart. The fact that people purchase millions and billions of dollars worth of very expensive products and services every year is ample proof that you can sell your higher-priced products and services against lower-priced competition by emphasizing the non-price qualities and values of what you offer. Now get out there and make some sales. Thank you for listening. Now, I'd like to give you a free gift as a way of saying thank you for being a loyal supporter of mine and a determined continuous learner. So find out what I've been working on lately and receive your special at www.briantracy.com/learner. That's www.briantracy.com/learner.
Just go there right now and see what I've got for you. Thanks again for listening. I look forward to talking to you and maybe even seeing you soon.